ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ಕಾರದತ್ತ ಮಾಲಿಕೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಸೂಫಿ ಡಾ ಸೈಯದ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕತ್ ಪೀರಾನ್ ಅವರ ಅನುಭವದ ನುಡಿಗಳ ಮುಂದುವರೆದ ಭಾಗ. ಇವರೊಂದಿಗಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಡಾ ಅಜಯ್ ಕುಮಾರ್ ಸಿಂಗ್.
ಪಂಚವಾಯುಗಳಲ್ಲ ಪ್ರಾಣನಾನಲ್ಲ, ಸಪ್ತಧಾತುಗಳಲ್ಲ ಕೋಶವೈದಲ್ಲ, ಕರ್ಮಾಂಗ ವಿಷಯೇಂದ್ರಿಯಂಗಳಾನಲ್ಲ, ಕರ್ಮಾಂಗ ವಿಷಯೇಂದ್ರಿಯಂಗಳಾನಲ್ಲ, ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದಾತ್ಮ ಶಿವನಾನು ನಾನು.
ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ಎ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸಿಂಗ್ ಸೂಫಿ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿಕೇಡ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಎ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸಿಂಗ್ ಸೂಫಿ?
No, first tell us. I did not choose the line on my own self.
Right.
I was born and brought up in a family of Khadriya Silsila. My father was a Sajjadinishin of a great saint. So was my great grandfather and his father, right up from the time of Prophet Muhammad and his grand Ali and her grandchildren. So all have been practicing, and Abdul Khadir Jilani, my ancestor, was one of the greatest saints. So the aspect pertaining to the Marifat Elahi or the life of saintship or the way we have to be brought up has come down from my inheritance. It is not all that in our family has been trained or had the choice. But somehow my heart as a child, I found my mother to be a very saintly lady, my father to be a very good saintly person. My grandfather was attained the stage of MCS. He was the first person to have English education, but was a Sufi master. He became the Revenue Commissioner, Inspector General of Police in 1935. And thereafter till 1965 was totally dedicated to service of mankind. So this we lived with him.
Hamari office mein unka photo laga hua hai.
So this training has to come from the lap of the mother. So the mother of our Prophet has said that the heaven lies at the feet of mother. So although the women in our Islam don't come out of parda and address the public, but they are initiated in the Sufi way of life by the masters. They are given the mantras. They are told how they should serve the husband, how they should be as a good lady, good child, good bring up the children in the tradition. So we had not seen a movie, we had not heard music, because we were brought up in such a way. But I was put in a Hindu school, Mahila Seva Samaja in Basangudi. And we were all brought up in a very Catholic mind and Catholic thinking.
Open-mindedness.
At the same time, we had a very pious parents and pious people around us. So this led me to the Sufi thought. And I was very young, hardly about 14 years, when my father, my grandfather, took the oath of allegiance from me, made me his murid, and made me serve him. He was in his 89 and 90 years. For 2 years, practically stepped on the floor while he was sleeping on the cot, and would wake me up three times
in the night. So
talib starts. He becomes a talib. He is known as a talib. So he becomes a talib. So this talim in a gharana, as is in music, it starts from the lap of the mother.
ಜನನಿ ಸುರ
Thereafter, a khazi of a place very near to Bangalore, Kunigal, he was staying very, very elderly, attained Sufi. he was requested by my grandfather that he should give teaching of Arabic lessons, teaching of Quran to me, my brothers and sisters. So he was a very pious and attained person, and he could pass on a lot of good things, about good thoughts, and make us understand why we should stick on to the path of honesty, truthfulness, good living, and all that. And as I came to the high school, we had a very good master, Urdu Maulvi Saab, who incidentally, after my return from my transfer back to Bangalore, we started International Sufi Center. He became the chairman. He was a very ardent student of Maulana Room.
From the birth, you had this.
And we had our own mausoleum of our saint who had come from Baghdad near Srirangpatna in Kirangur. So every year we used to celebrate Urs, where we would meet great mendicants and saints and Sufis and all that. So the Sufi training starts from a lap and of the mother, and I was had interest. So I took Urdu as my second language in high school and in the college. We had lessons from a very good master, from professor of Urdu in St. Joseph's College. He would give us lessons in the Urdu poetry and all that. So that attracted me to Maulana Room and Hafiz Shirazi, Saadi, Rumi, Saadi, and all great works.
How all that helped you in tackling the, when you were on your own in the world, when you took up a job or what?
No, I would try to not speak about myself in this aspect, but quote Mahatma Gandhi. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi had for good fortune to also have a similar circumstance. At the smallest, if you have gone through his biography, Experiments with Truth, you would notice autobiography, that he took up to the path of truth and he wanted to experiment truth. He was a barrister, but he lived a very strict life, stickler in his life. And he experimented truth. He came back and out of honesty, he would ask his clients to go and confess the crime. He started
or compromise,
all the,
rather
compromise. And he was taken to South Africa, where he started his movement. When he came back to India, he started the Swadeshi Muram, Satyagraha. And in his biography, he mentions that one can live a Puritan life, a simple life, an austere life. So if you look into the lives of these humble, simple people who have become, rose to a great extent, it is the will of man. It is the will inside you. And your conviction to truth and truth alone and honesty, that will make you strong to stand against all the attractions and all the evils which will come near you.
Nanna vyakti te ninna vyaktitva sagarari telali sada nanna karumagalella ninna rutama ವೇಷ ಮುತ್ತಿರಲಿ ನನ್ನನು ಸದಾ.
ಸೊ ಐ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ವೇ ಆಸ್ ಲಾ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಸೆಲೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಕೋರ್ಟ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಎ ಜಡ್ಜ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಕಸ್ಟಮ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಬ್ಯುನಲ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ನೋ ಕಸ್ಟಮ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಬ್ಯುನಲ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. ಸೊ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಯಂಗ್, ಐ ವಾಸ್ 39. And my technical colleague was about 55, 60.
No, suppose.
All these distractions.
Let us put a very hypothetical question.
Yes.
Suppose you were a customs tribunal judge without having this Sufi, let's say, taleem or way of life. How it would have been different?
I would not like to say much about myself. Those who were pious took piety as their life. They were very pious people who had taken to the Indian way of pious life. So they shunned all the pleasures which came near them. But those who really loved truth and honesty, they did not budge. They did not waver in delivering the right judgments and accepting truth as the way of life.
Let's say that very briefly and simply, which our listeners can understand, what it means to be a practicing Sufi. What type of daily life a practicing Sufi leads?
A practicing Sufi,
like you,
morning till evening is totally in remembrance of his Lord.
Whatever work he is doing.
Whatever. It is like a housewife, although the husband has gone while she is cooking, she is remembering her husband. She is washing her clothes, she is remembering her husband. And the tinkle on the this one, look, the clock, he says it's a time for my children to come back. So not a minute or a second the household wife is distracted by these functions which she performs. She is always absorbed in the thought of her husband, of her children. So likewise, a person who has already absorbed in the thought of the Lord keeps primary in his mind the aspects pertaining to truth and honesty. He is having fear of Lord. He loves Lord. This is what brings in awe, A-W-E, awe of the Lord.
Nanna nyunate yella ninna poornate gagi noyali sada nanna nashvaravalla ninna nityate gagi sayali sada nanna nashvaravalla ninna nityate gagi sayali sada ninna aashirvada parivesha muttirali nannanu sada nanna bhaktiya palli malarantu suttirali ninnanu sada.
The awe of the Lord is such that it captivates the mind and heart of a person. So he feels he is in the service of the Lord.
And all
since he is in the service of the Lord,
all daily duties accordingly.
He feels as if he is helped in all his movements. Everything gets opened up to him. So it may happen like this. He develops sixth sense. A Sufi develops a very strong sixth sense. And the work becomes very simple for him. It may be that you have mastered your subject. You go to the fundamentals. You have absorbed what is required to be understood. So you have read your papers. You have gone to your court. Suddenly a voice comes to your mind. Turn to page 79. You turn. You look into, you says, the voice says, look into the paragraph 69. You look into the paragraph 69. You have gone to the very root of the case. You put the question and ask the counsel who wants 3 days to argue to come to that particular para and read that para and make the judge understand. The opposite sides will not be able to answer to the counsel's bench questions, and the matter ends in seconds and minutes.
This can also be termed a miracle.
Is the gift of the Lord. The Lord bestows his grace, his gift on his obedient servant. Subdued servant, a simple servant, a humble servant. When the Lord is with him and he is assisting him, he feels that his job is taken away by the Lord and his burden is reduced.
Wonderful.
He gets joy.
So instead of the wrong perception that life becomes difficult, in fact becomes easy.
Easy. Life is very easy. It's like a flower.
That is the lesson.
That is the lesson.
What is the place of women in Sufism?
Women are no different. Because God created woman as in the scriptures, we may not believe it in the scientific way, from the rib of the Adam, new man. She is as good as man and she is much, much better because she is the mother of the humanity. It is from the heaven lies at the feet of the mother. The whole aspect of spirituality is fed into the mind of child by the mother. The child is attached to the mother. You may say it's in psychology it is refers to a mother fixation, father fixation. No, they wean it out. But the aspect of the love. Aspect of mercy, the aspect of compassion,
sacrifice
is every. This is basic. It comes from the mother itself. Mother is the saint, so she creates a saint. A saint is born from her womb.
Mele hari ninna selata. Mūrta prēma didegē, mūrta prēma.
whatever now in the modern sense, it even now it is stated, it has come out in the modern scientific research, that the child learns the language of the mother from the womb itself. So there are so many miracles which has happened with great saints and prophets, and Lord Krishna also, he has spoken from the womb. The word womb.
So in Sufism, they are given equal status.
She is as good. She is a saint. She is the first saint. Because Islam does not require a woman to come to the world and teach to people to face the hardship of public life. She is kept in the, she is in parda, but in parda she performs a greater duty than than a man can do. And she passes on the culture and all the mores of the culture. She holds the kitchen of the house. So the woman maintains the unity of the civilization.
Not only running the kitchen, but
kitchen, but she maintains the, it is she who maintains the aspects of love and affection in the society.
Family holds
so the, as our prophet said, if mother has got one portion of love, the Lord has got 70 portions of love. And the there are instances where persons have become very great eminent saints by serving only the mother. So there is an instance in the prophet's life that he was able to see a great person of very high virtue and eminence in Yemen. And he used to say, I get fresh breath from the Yemen. And he kept his kurta, what he was wearing, and advised two of his companions that after his death they should go find him in Kharni, a place in Yemen, and he should hand over and give his salams. And these two companions should seek his blessings. So they, after the Prophet's death, the Umar and Hazrat Ali, both of them went in search when they went to Yemen and found Kharni. Awais Kharni was his name. So they asked him, why you did not come to meet Prophet if you have already learnt about Prophet? He said, I undoubtedly had very great love for my mother, for my Prophet. But my mother's love was more. And I could not leave my mother.
Her.
So he attained such an eminent position
I think this explains the whole thing. It explains
Any spiritual person, if he wants to attain anything, he has to serve his mother with all his devotion, with all his love. It's only the mother's prayers which brings a person closer to Lord. This is the concept in Sufism or in any religion, Father.
Let me ask, I think, another question which will interest, I think, a lot of our listeners. And that's, what is the place of miracles in Sufism? I'm not talking about what people think about miracles. How the masters use miracles for a spiritual progress of the shagird or their own, or bring peace to society, whatever. In what manner they use these miracles, and what is the place of miracles?
I would not speak about miracles initially, which is in the saints, whatever of religion or whatever place it might be. The place of miracles is from the advent of the man itself. Man's creation itself is a miracle. The wonders of the Lord all around us is a miracle. So when Adam fell and his children quarreled among themselves and his descendants left the path of the Lord, they forgot, created their own mental pictures, and they had their own superstitions, myths and mythologies came into existence. The word of law, secret word of law, Lord was lost. Then Nuh came as a prophet, and he wanted to call back the humanity to the straight path, path of love, path of affection, and to worship for the one singular Lord. The people asked proof. Give us the proof of the existence of the Lord. How do you say you are the prophet of Lord? What is the proof you have? So they had to perform such type of deeds which God himself performed, not they. The God who would show the humanity about the wonders of his wonders. Now the scientific inventions which are taking place around us are nothing but miracles. the way in which the operations are done, heart operation is done, kidney replacement, heart replacement, so many wonders which are taken, we say it is a miracle. So the God wants to show in his own logical way what man wants in a logical way, such things will happen. So the same thing happened in the respect of Sufis when they attained the last stage of Anafila I mentioned to you, the merger with the Lord. That Lord is almost, they are breathing Lord, they are seeing Lord, their hands are Lord. So what happens when a situation comes when the man is askance, he is in total, in a astray condition. Either it could be the king or the queen who would be in a most difficult position, they must have lost their loving daughter or something like that, and they would ask the saint to help them bring back the dead daughter or a dead loved son back, because they have to carry on their project, their legacy. So the saint would know that this act would change the heart of the whole humanity, and they would come back to the God. So they would utter this secret word, pray intensively, and that brings back the dead person to life. It has happened. It is not that it will not happen today. So many times the doctors ask the patient to be discharged on the ground that he has got only few movements and he will certainly not live at all. And they take back the patient, they pray intentionally, get the saints, they go to the saints' places, and the person revives and he comes back to life.
Stephen Hawking was supposed to have died, I think, 30 years back.
Yes, such things are happening. And what we need is, we need eyes to see, we need ears to hear. So we must have a truthful heart, a sacred heart, a purified heart, a khalb-e salim, which God says. And if we have an openness of mind and heart, we can see the wonders of life. They are miracles of life. They are miracles of life and miracles of things happening within mind and heart.
Also tell us, since you have been a practicing Sufi for such a long time, tell us about your own experiences. That will be very interesting.
Well, it will be not proper to air and speak about your own aspects of your own humility, your simplicity, your all these things, because the fear of Lord takes over your mind and heart. You are afraid that the God may not like your impetuosity. You are speaking trumpeting yourself. But I could say a few things which are very common to anybody and everybody. It could be a lesson to others also.
From that point of view,
we are seeing today so much of grief expressed on certain evil acts done in certain parts of the country. The whole nation has stood up. Why it did not feel shame as things are happening again and again from years and years? They remain silent. But what is this anger about? Why this anger? This anger is known as self-righteous anger. Self-righteous anger is most dangerous than the anger that will come from doing certain evil or wrong which is there in the mind. You begin to feel that you are an attained soul, a purified soul, and you can't bear the wrong which is taking place. You must voice your concern. So this self-righteous concern is something which takes you away from the path of spirituality. Because in the path of spirituality, you are not different from what is happening in the God's creation. Why God has made these things happen, it is a purely a personal thing, a personal belief. And you are merged in the Lord, and Lord takes care of everything. He knows what is happening, why He is doing, why He wants to create and destroy, why He wants to become a Vishnu or a Shiva or a particular way, and why He wants to be a person always living. So if you speak that I did this, I did that, I did that, you are immediately in trouble. Certain trouble visits your house and your mind and heart. You are immediately, the light in your mind and heart is just stops. So it has happened to me any number of times. I was a self-righteous person because I felt that we are Pirans and we are Sufis and we are different.
Tradition
and see all other persons, they do this, they do that. And that self-righteous anger created a lot of problem for me. Not only as a student, but as a lecturer-in-law, professor-in-law, or as a lawyer, or as a judge, or as an administrator in the courts. Mm. So when my self-righteous anger used to come up, and I used to use the stick to spare the rod and spoil the child, as they would say, that would cause a lot of grief to me, a lot of sorrows. Mm-hmm. Because the persons who have suffered at my hands, they would really weep, and certain deep consequences would come, and that would give me a little shame that I should not have done. They should have left the things to go on his own way. It doesn't mean that the law should not take its course.
Yeah, law has to take its course. Yes. Wrongdoer
but
has
there
to...
are certain things which could be done in a very, very polite manner, in a good manner, in a simple manner, in a manner in
rather being harsh.
By being harsh, harsh tongue. That's why Gandhi says, Mahatma Gandhi, that civility is a first lesson. As we have learned also, that humility is the first lesson of wisdom. If you want to be a wise person, learn about wisdom and all the great knowledge which is there in the universe, then the mind and heart has to be softened to a butter. Unless that mind and heart gets itself so softened, you will not. And I cannot tell you exact instances, which is not be proper to hear.
Yeah,
but I could say
a sense of
that
the
self-righteous anger does not have mitigating factors at all, unless you turn, you humble yourself, go back to the person and say, law had to take its course, I'm sorry, what best I can do? I'll mitigate this one and try to see that a lesser punishment is given to you. And you turn things, after he has done what good it was required to be done for the purpose of society or for the for the administration, you forgive him. You have to forget and forgive.
That is as a, let's say, as a judge or a administration, as a person.
That is, the whole thing has started because you felt bad. If
you
had not held the self-righteous contempt, see, that gives in you a feeling of contempt. You are looking another nature, another aspect with contempt.
Divine inspirations, how one get?
The human soul is a spark of divinity. When you keep on trying to open the door, the locks of the door of the heart, you, as Hazrat Nizamuddin has said, use 100 keys of goodness. Once you have opened the lock of the door of the divinity in your heart, the divine inspiration and the divine lights envelops your whole being. When it envelops the whole being, the God gives his grace. You use this grace for the benefit of the humanity, for the well-being of the humanity, for the survival of the good of the humanity. So it becomes so intense with the purification of mind and soul and heart that you become part of Lord and part descendants of God, comes down in you, and whatever you pray, whatever you ask, your desires are fulfilled.
Rupa rupa galanu daati nama koti galanu meeti yedaya biriya bhava deenti yedaya biriya bhava deenti చేతనా
ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ಕಾರದತ್ತ ಮಾಲಿಕೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಇದುವರೆಗೆ ಸೂಫಿ ಡಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಸೈಯದ್ ಲಾಕಾತ್ ಪಿರಾನ್ ಅವರ ಅನುಭವದ ಮಾತುಗಳನ್ನು ಕೇಳಿದಿರಿ. ಇವರೊಂದಿಗಿದ್ದವರು ಡಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಅಜಯ್ ಕುಮಾರ್ ಸಿಂಗ್.